This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up in a world of music downloads and hit singles, is there an album that you must have? You know, the whole thing? Share your must-have albums later in the show or start now on the Central Time Facebook page.
First, Republicans swept state elections last week, maintaining control of the Senate, Assembly, and the governor's office. Since 2011, the legislature and governor have passed extensive conservative policies ranging from Act 10, limiting public union bargaining rights, to restrictions on abortion clinics.
The legislature with a strengthened conservative majority will head into a new session in January. The first order of business will be to agree on a two-year budget.
Republican legislators can also plan to discuss issues like eliminating the Common Core curriculum, lowering property and income taxes, and drug testing state aid recipients.
With us now is Representative John Nygren from Marinette. He's co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, a big player in that budget. Representative Nygren, welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Well, let's start off with the big picture. What are the top priorities for the new legislature?
Well, I think what you can expect is somewhat more of the same from us. I think we want to continue to improve our business climate in Wisconsin. We want to look for more efficient government, more reforms within government. I think we want to build on the success of our schools, help schools that might be failing, provide more opportunities for parents to be able to make choice in what's right for their students' education, and also help more Wisconsinites achieve self-sufficiency rather than a dependence on government. So I think those are going to be some of the main issues that we're going to be addressing, not only in the budget, but in the two-year cycle as well.
A lot of what you mentioned will happen in the context of the budget plan. Governor Walker says, hey, guys, I'd like to see something from you pretty fast. Let's turn this around quickly. What are your thoughts on that? Can you expedite the budget this time around?
Well, I think it can be expedited, but, you know, I think that probably most of the expedition probably is in the governor's hands. You know, if he wants to submit it to us early, we'll get to work early. But there, you know, we might be able to shave a week or two here and there off. But, you know, there's certain things that I don't think the legislature is willing to give up. I think it's important for us to be able to continue to have our level of focus on the issues that are important to Wisconsinites, have Wisconsinites the ability to have a transparent budget process where they can, you know, give us input as we travel the state and get feedback from them, complete evaluation by the nonpartisan fiscal bureau. And for us, with, you know, 63 members in the assembly, many of them in their first or second session, it's important for us to be able to communicate the different issues that are in the budget, address concerns that they have. So I don't see us pushing the budget at a high pace just for the sake of getting done early. If we can get there, we'll do it, but it's not going to be a top priority for us.
One budget issue in the run-up to election, talk about a projected $500 million or so shortfall. It's been controversial because it is, keyword, projected. Are there plans to deal with that? Do you think you need to take that into account, or do you think rumors of a shortfall are exaggerated at this point?
Well, I actually think most of the rumors of the shortfall have been exaggerated. You know, as a budget proceeds, it's a living, breathing document. Some areas of state government might see higher costs than expected. You know, Medicaid has been one that over the last several cycles has been, you know, very, had the growth of that program has been pretty high. But then we make changes and we make adjustments within the period of the budget to be able to, at the end of the cycle, retain a balanced budget. Wisconsin has a requirement to have a balanced budget. So if there are shortfalls coming, we make adjustments accordingly. And I actually expect us to end the current two-year budget cycle with a surplus rather than a deficit.
One big part of the state budget, and sometimes one of the most complicated, is the education budget. We saw earlier this week the Department of Public Instruction put out their proposal. They're asking for an over $600 million increase in funding in this two-year budget term. We have seen some cuts to public school funding, limits to property tax increases for schools. Any appetite now from you and your colleagues to put more money into public schools, maybe address part of that request for an increase?
Well, actually, I would correct you. We actually put over $300 million of new money into education in the last budget. Under Act 10, there were some reductions, but they were also trade-offs cost-saving opportunities for school districts throughout the state. So more dollars should have been able to be spent in the classrooms. I think we'll continue. Education is a priority for us. 33%, over a third of our budget, goes to public education, and I think that it's going to continue in that route. I think what you were talking about with the tax cuts dealt with our technical schools. There were still no reductions to technical schools. It actually was just paid for with general purpose revenue rather than property tax. So rural schools, I think, is an issue that we identified in this last cycle. Some of our more rural members, northern members, especially Representative Chaya, Representative Swearingen from the Tomahawk and Rhinelander area, stepped forward and provided a voice for rural schools. And we developed a task force to travel the state, listen to some of the concerns of rural school leaders, but also put some things in place. We put more money into transportation. But we're going to have to continue to find creative ways to provide an education in rural Wisconsin where, you know, our population, unfortunately, is shifting away, and we don't have the resources that we've had in the past. So that is a challenge, and it's one where we're up to the challenge
of
tackling.
One of the big issues, along with the rural schools you mentioned, is the performance gap, the education gap between white and African-American children. African-American children do the worst in math and reading as compared to their peers around the country, according to fourth and eighth grade tests. Is this something the legislature is looking to tackle in school funding or beyond?
Well, I mean, typically, when we talk about a large segment of population with African American students that are struggling, we're talking about our more populated communities, you know, Milwaukee, Madison, perhaps Green Bay, and others. And school choice has been a part of that. Those schools are also have been funded and will continue to be funded at a higher dollar amount than our more rural schools, as we just were talking about. So I can expect that commitment to continue. So I don't know that it's about funding, but we do want to, you know, continue and to work with our education community to find creative ways to be able to attack those problems. I know, you know, the Read to Lead program, because we've identified if a student can't read proficiently at grade level by the third grade, the chances of them having a successful education are greatly diminished. You know, programs like that. But also, as I go back to a choice for parents to make sure that they pick the opportunity that's right for their son or daughter, whether that be school choice, whether that be charter, whether that be virtual schools. There is no set expectation that a public school or a private school or any of these is right for your child, so you should have more say in what that's going to look like.
Are you looking at substantial cuts to taxes in Wisconsin? If so, what kind of taxes do you have your eye on?
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, we put out our forward agenda planning for the next budget. I think some of those plans are still in formation, but I do believe that, you know, continuing to reduce the property tax burden is something that's always been high on my priority. You know, our CPA caucus is definitely focused on the reduction of our income tax, because even though we've made significant reductions, we still are ranked as a very high tax state, and that affects us as from a competition standpoint as far as when it comes to bringing new business and new opportunity, new jobs to our state. So, yeah, I think income tax and property tax reduction are still on the burners, but what they end up looking like are yet to be determined.
We're talking to Representative John Nygren from Marinette. He's a Republican and he's co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. We're talking about what issues will be on the agenda heading into a new legislature coming up in January.
And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have any questions about the issues facing the Wisconsin legislature? What would you like to see the legislature address? One of their first tasks will be to agree on a budget. Do you have questions about that budget? What would you like to see there? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation with Representative John Nygren and maybe hear from you coming up after the news. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.
This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're back with Representative John Nygren from Marinette. He's co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. Republicans swept state elections last week, maintaining control in the Senate, Assembly, and the Governor's House. And we are talking about what issues will be on the docket going into the new legislature in January.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are there issues you'd like to see come up in the new legislature? Do you have questions about things like the Common Core curriculum, taxes, or drug testing for state aid. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Representative Nygren just mentioned a Common Core. Is that there's been a lot of talk about maybe repealing that curriculum requirement for Wisconsin schools. Are you thinking that might happen this time around?
I'm thinking there definitely will be a conversation about Common Core. And, you know, I first of all, I think everybody needs to understand that Common Core is a set of standards. It's not a set of curriculum. I think there's been some confusion about that. The curriculum can be determined by the school district. But setting standards that are the high standards, that are high Wisconsin standards, is not something that I think we should be afraid of. First of all, that, you know, when they were implemented, Common Core was implemented in Wisconsin some years ago by the superintendent of public schools. There was no oversight. There was no transparency as far as public hearings. There was no legislative oversight. For us to have a discussion with the as representatives of the people of Wisconsin, I think is definitely appropriate.
Now, we heard a couple weeks ago from CEOs of two of Wisconsin's fastest-growing small businesses, asked them what they need to thrive. One of the things they pointed to was the need for more skilled workers here in the state. What do you think can be done by you and the legislature, by the governor, to help make sure small businesses have pools of skilled talent?
I couldn't agree with them more, as this has been an issue for me that's been important ever since I've been elected in 2006. Representing Marinette, obviously, many of your listeners probably know shipbuilding is a big industry here. Welders, pipe fitters, electricians are in high demand. Oftentimes, we do not have the workers to fill those positions, so we end up bringing in contractors from out of state who aren't necessarily even putting roots down in Marinette, and that's not giving us the boost to our economy that we'd like to see. So I personally think, I mean, while our tech schools are an important part of this piece and should be the ones doing the training, I think it also needs to start in our K-12 system. So we need to be, we've talked about connecting our technical schools and our university system to the world of work, but we also need to do a better job focusing on connecting our K-12 schools with the world of work, and whether that be in the through the K-12 system or whether that be partnering with a technical system, as I know it's been done in some areas. I think that's the direction we need to be going in, and like I said, it's been done in some, but it needs to be done on more widespread basis to be able to provide the workforce that is needed. And then also us as parents, we need to be talking about with our kids the opportunities that exist. You know, manufacturing in Wisconsin is not what it was 30 years ago. It's not the 3Ds, you know, dark, dirty, and dangerous. It can actually be very technologically advanced, very high skill, and very well-paying as well.
Let's go to a caller now. We've got Steve on the line in Trigo. Steve, hi.
Hello. I just thought a couple of issues that I think need to be taken up by the governor and the legislature are the Medicaid expansion money that both have refused so far, and raising the minimum wage. They were referendum questions that were on ballots in front of, my understanding is, maybe a couple of million of Wisconsin voters, and they passed with overwhelming support. So if there was a mandate a week ago Tuesday, it was really on those issues more than any party or candidate.
Steve, thanks for the call. Referring to countywide referenda in a handful of counties on both those issues, Representative Nygren, looking to take that federal Medicaid money and for Badger Care, I should say, and looking to increase the minimum wage in the state.
Well, as far as Badger Care, I mean, I think that issue has been addressed. While the gentleman spoke about, as you said, a handful of areas that had referendum, that was an issue that was widely discussed in the campaign for governor, and Governor Walker was successful. I think that's a settled issue. You know, we actually took a different course. For the first time ever, everybody in poverty has coverage in Wisconsin rather than having waiting lists as it's been in the past. And anybody that has is over the poverty level has the ability to go to the exchange with federal subsidies. While it's been said that we rejected federal money, I would say that rather than the state collecting those dollars for producing health insurance for the folks on Badger Care, I would say the dollars are actually going to the individual to make that decision in the form of a subsidy rather than continuing to build the bureaucracy of Wisconsin Medicaid. So I do not see us going back to that. As far as the minimum wage, I think that will continue to be a discussion as we move forward, but I do personally have concerns. Minimum wage should not be, you know, a family-supporting wage. It should be a starting point, and we should be talking about higher-paying jobs rather than minimum wage jobs, building more higher-paying jobs, helping people get the skills they need to fill those jobs rather than focusing on minimum wage.
Thanks a lot for the call, Steve. One issue that was on an assembly, a description of assembly priorities from you and your Republican colleagues was requiring some forms of drug testing for public aid recipients. What would that look like? Why would that be a priority?
Well, I mean, I think that is the issue that I will tell you, as somebody who's knocked on, you know, thousands of doors, not only this past election cycle, but for the last four election cycles, is very popular with the public. Pretty much most companies today that were, if you're employed, you're required to do a drug screen, and people are saying, if I'm going to give someone a hand up with my hard-earned tax dollars, they should be subject to the same rules that I am. And as someone who has been working very aggressively on the drug problems in our state, I see it as an imperative way to be able to identify who has the issues with drug abuse, and also be able to provide the services to them to be able to break that cycle of addiction. Our end goal should not be somebody who's dependent on government. It should be someone who can either break that cycle of addiction, and then if they're coming out of our correction system, be able to be rehabilitated to a point where they can support themselves rather than being a drain on our economy. We want them to be taxpaying citizens that are supporting our economy.
You mentioned working on drug legislation. You've been on our show in the past talking about your work on heroin legislation in particular, an issue close to you, I know. Do you foresee any new legislation on top of what was passed in the last session?
I do. I believe that the new Attorney General as well, Attorney General Brad Schimmel, Attorney General-elect, this is going to be not only was it a highlight of his campaign, I think it's going to be a highlight of his term as a Attorney General. He and I have already begun conversations. I think we need to identify that in most of these addiction cases, it starts with prescription drugs. We need to have a conversation with our medical community about the appropriateness of the prescribing levels that we see, not only in Wisconsin, but nationally. We have a tool, the prescription drug monitoring program, that is implemented now in Wisconsin, but is not mandatory that it's to be utilized. I think that's probably a discussion that we're going to need to have. And then, as I said, training for our medical providers to make sure that they understand and follow appropriate guidelines for prescribing narcotic drugs that unfortunately have taken so many lives in our state.
Turning to union-related legislation, we had Act 10 relating to public employees a couple years back. A lot of people are wondering if another shoe is going to drop there on right-to-work issues related to private unions. Any buzz among you and your colleagues on tackling that?
I mean, I'm sure there's some of my colleagues that will consider that as legislation, but I would think as a overall, as a caucus, overall as a party, we have been more focused on reforming our government, reforming our tax code, right-to-work legislation. We think that we can be competitive as a state in by our reforms rather than possibly going down another divided period of time as we did with Act 10. And I think that those discussions perhaps will happen over time with right to work as we need to maybe perhaps compete against neighboring states. We've got Indiana is right to work now. We've got Michigan right across the river from me. But I believe we can be focusing on other issues to help us be competitive rather than something that might be divisive today.
Speaking of divisiveness, you have a substantial Republican majority in the Assembly and a bigger one than previously in the Senate. Do you see room for bipartisan cooperation, given that you don't necessarily need it?
Well, I mean, I think to a certain extent, a misnomer. I think about 90% of our bills pass with bipartisan support, and I would expect that to continue. But I think, the big issues, the taxes, the spending, those type of issues are always going to divide Republicans and Democrats. When it comes to growing our economy or, promoting agriculture or whatever the issue would be, drug issues, as I've worked on, those are all bipartisan issues, and I would continue to encourage Democrats and Republicans alike to look for common ground wherever possible.
Representative Nygren, thanks so much for joining us again today.
Good to be with you. Thank you.
That was co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Representative John Nygren from Marinette. He's a Republican, enjoying a new larger majority in the Assembly. The new legislative season begins in January.